Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Thank you, Dave. I didn't acknowledge you last time, and I always love to acknowledge my Dave Solomon. Oh, man, what a friend. You know, and I'm so grateful for friends these days. I'm getting settled here because I just changed something a little while ago. And I want to make sure that we're all set here for this before we get laid back. You know, being a two-man or a one-man band, I should say, two-man band, I wish, it's a little tricky because you've got to maneuver certain things on the screen. I wish you could be here. Someday you will be here because it will all be on Skype. How about that? There's so much going on. Big gratitude to Starbucks Coffee. I don't care what anybody says about any other coffee. It always puts me in the place where I want to be. Big props to Rhonda Byrne. Rhonda, if you're listening in Australia or New York, wherever you are, thank you for the magic. It really has changed things. It just feels like a new beginning in so many ways. A little bit off the subject of hybrid jazz, but then again, it's got everything to do with it. Daoud Saeed playing music to introduce you. Beej is in the house from California. Jared's coming up next hour. Oh, yes. And we've got a couple of songs here that will really surprise and delight you, including this one by Paul Desmond and Jerry Mulligan from 1957-1958. How's that? Winter Song on Hybrid Jazz. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, that girl. Woo, I do love that baby voice. Woo. Lynn Fidmont is the name of that lady, and Lady is the name of the CD back in 2010. Lynn's tribute to one of her inspirations, Billie Holiday. And it's an interesting kind of story how Lynn got so immersed in Billie Holiday. First of all, back in college days, she and a friend were catching up one day. Both were going to different schools, colleges, and they decided to have one of these happy lunches. And they put Billie Holiday on in the background, and they discovered as the hour or two went by, their mood was completely changed. And they realized it was Billie who just, even in the background, was able to infiltrate both of them and make them feel, and it changed the whole vibe of the lunch. So Billie was entranced, and then she did research on her. And then she had an opportunity in her amazing career, Lynn, to play Billie Holiday in a musical called Dark Legends in Blood in Los Angeles. Very intriguing. The song you heard is All the Way, and that was a 1950s pop song covered by a whole lot of people, including Frank Sinatra, who had it out in 1957 or so. And in that year, it won Academy Award for Best Original Song from The Joker is Wild. Billie Holiday recorded the version in March of 59, 4 months before her death, which is available on Last Recordings. Shoo! Now, Lynn Fidmont is going to be here on Hybrid Jazz on December 19th. That particular day, oh, it's just going to be like a Christmas gift, honestly. She's going to be playing at Blues Alley in Washington, D.C., a couple of days from then. So we'll be talking a whole lot about that. And we'll be talking about the friends who populated this CD, by the way. Gerald Albright, Kirk Whalum, George Duke. Lynn and I have been in communication over the past several months about George and how much he loved her. He really did. And she loved him. Last time she was here, she talked about that. We'll certainly discuss that again. Oh, yeah, Freddie Washington was on the CD, too. And Ricky Minor, all-star cast. That's the way Lynn is because she's first call. All right? Tony Bunn and Palermo from Small World from 2009. Tony's birthday was yesterday, made a big splash out of it because it's not only, things have changed so much for him in the past couple of years, not only his birthday on the 18th, but he gets to celebrate again the next day because at midnight, his little girl, Princess Nikki, she just turned two. So it's Nikki's birthday. Nikki's in Denmark. Daddy's in Baltimore, and they're going to fix that soon. It's just the way Tony has to live his life right now. But you should see her. She looks like a little Tony Bunn. It's going to be absolutely a riot if she also plays bass guitar when she grows up. Oh, my God. Dad, you got to work on that. So awesome. And we had Gabby Goodman on in the past few weeks. That's Tony's sister. It's a family affair. So I think there's going to be some plans afoot in 2014 for Tony. We'll keep you abreast of that. But Small World features, among other musicians, the great Dennis Chambers, lifelong friend of Tony, on drums. And that, in and of itself, if it's just for Tony and Dennis, you need to pick up this EP. That's all there is to it. Paul Desmond, Jerry Mulligan started the set. Man. So nice. And the reason they came to mind is because it's Paul Desmond's birthday on the 25th, born in 1924, passed away in 1977. Very quirky character. So interesting. I just read recently that at one point, Dave Brubeck and Paul Desmond had a falling out. And Dave Brubeck had told his wife, look, I don't care. I'm not taking his calls, and don't let him see me. If he comes to the door, I'm not here. So Paul found his way to the back. Apparently, Dave Brubeck was hanging up cloth diapers in the backyard. And they buried the hatchet. I'm not sure what the fuss was all about, but they got together. They made jazz history. They really did change the face of jazz, especially on college campuses. But they were very, very different guys. Dave Brubeck, a family man for sure. Paul Desmond, not so much. Had a way with the ladies, had a big crush on Audrey Hepburn for the longest time, found a compadre in Jerry Mulligan, who was also one of these interesting guys who had a long relationship with Judy Holliday and indeed was there when the great actress passed away in 1965. And then Jerry had a long relationship with Sandy Dennis, another great actress. And man, when they got together for this Blues in Time album back in the mid to later 50s, it was an idea birthed in 54. A couple of years later, it came to fruition. Dave Bailey on drums, Joe Benjamin on bass, and Paul and Jerry trading off those beautiful sax inclinations. Just so sexy. That's all I can say. You heard it. Woo, winter song. Something to pick up. Maybe a little gift for holiday gift giving. We've got another saxtress here. Somebody who plays sax in the most dynamite of ways. And on top of that, she is just bloodthirsty, gorgeous, vivacious, spiritual, intense, wonderful. Just on the show a few weeks ago, Teresa Grayson is here with us, not literally. Jared will be, though, coming up next hour. Can't wait to catch up. He's got a few things to pass along to you. This is a song that Teresa covered, John Legend's Best You Ever Had, on the brand new Live to Love CD on Hybrid Jazz. This is Hybrid Jazz.
Good morning, world. It's time to start my day. Can't wait to get up and see what good will come my way. The birds are singing in perfect harmony. Sun is gleaming brighter than I've ever seen. I look out my window, see people passing by with a look of hope and optimism in their eyes. Have to get going, it's time to meet the day.
I don't want the time I have to waste another day.
I can't just lay it, eyes wide open, staring at the ceiling. I gotta get up on my feet once I finish kneeling. Oh, a little shower, yeah, has me singing melodies I'll leave ringing. I hope this vibe is never ending. I'm out the door, the sun is gleaming, smiling faces on the people that I'm seeking. They're free and they're so freeing. I gotta go out and face the day.
Gosh, I love me some David P. Stevens. He is on that guitar like there is no tomorrow. That is a song from Epiphany, which is new as of this year. So many new albums that came out. They're just so fabulous. This one, especially different, Hello World, featuring Frank McComb and a beautiful female singer from South Africa named Notende. Woo, I love it. Doug Grigsby on bass, Juan Sessoms on drums, Frank McComb on additional Rhodes and keys and guitars, David P. Stevens. Just so cool. I have to pass this along because David just told me this last night and I went, what? This is for real. His new CD is just about ready and he's so excited because people were coming to him to ask him if they could be on the CD because that's the kind of buzz that Epiphany got. Isn't that something? Phew, I love it. And look, in case you were looking for something to do in the Philly area, because, you know, he's my Philadelphia baby, David P. Stevens is going to be at Relish in Philly. When Ken coming to visit you, we'll be there after Thanksgiving, the 29th through the 30th. Go to Relish in Philly. Frank McComb got something special coming up on the 19th of December. He's going to be at the Bitter End in New York City. This will be the first celebration of his brand new tribute to Donny Hathaway CD, solo piano and voice. Very interesting. So Frank McComb and his website have more information. And No Tende just put a word into her to find out more about her. She is very well known in South Africa, has done a myriad of different kinds of projects, but we don't know her so much in the States, and we're going to find out sometime in 2014. Yes! Grover Washington Jr., speaking of Philadelphia, Skylarkin from 1980. This is right before things popped with Wine Light. Yeah. Grover on alto, soprano, tenor, flute, synth, and ocarina on the CD. Can't Help It, of course, a Michael Jackson song. With him, Eric Gale on guitar, Marcus Miller on bass, Ralph McDonald on percussion, and Idris Mohammed on drums. And Idris is 74. What a fascinating life this man has had, playing with some legends. And indeed, he is legendary himself. I was not sure of the circumstances of his health or whatnot, and I'm going to find out more about that because, you know, you do the research for so many of these CDs that you're going to play, and the artists who are the leaders, as it were, are one thing, but then you find out about the side musicians, and it's just a trip. For example, Eric and Marcus and Ralph were on Wine Light. Idris was not. Steve Gadd replaced him on drums. So that's an interesting turn of events for the career of Grover Washington Jr. Teresa Grayson also on sax. Best You Ever Had from Lib to Love. Teresa with an H, Grayson.com has more information. She's going to be at a charitable event on Thanksgiving, big Christmas show in her Houston, Texas. She's going to be at Sugar's in Beaumont later on in December. She's doing her thing. She is taking names, ladies and gentlemen, doing very well with Live to Love, as she should. She's been playing saxophone for a long time. She looks fabulous. She keeps healthy in all ways. She's one of those wealthy women. And I mean to say not necessarily rich, but rich in everything in her life. She's a balanced lady, just amazing. Love her, and I love Jared, who's coming up in less than 15 minutes from now. And this is going to be one of those sets that is going to be really cool. Didn't necessarily know going in that we were going to take on this kind of flavor. And let me just say thank you. If I don't get a chance to say it again, if we get involved in conversation or music in the third hour, it's just really something else to consider that Hybrid Jazz, since it has been a show in August of 2011, is now well over 99,000 listeners. Thank you so much for that. Listeners, you know, may come and go. They may pop on for a while. A lot stay. I get calls. I get texts, emails from different people that I don't know saying, you know, I stumbled across the show, and it's just been real positive. So thank you for that. Got to play this since we are focusing a little bit on birthdays today. One of those beautiful creatures that powerfully influenced yours truly when I was coming up in the city of brotherly love, he was not in the same city. He was a southern boy, and got a chance to meet him one day under some unusual circumstances. he and his band were playing at the Atlantic City Steel Pier when they had the diving horse. Oh, Lord! This was late 60s, early 70s. And he left us too soon. And when he did, my mother, if she was here, God rest her soul too, would be telling you that it was hard to console me for days. That's how devastated I was. His birthday is on the 20th of November. He was born in 1946. He left us late in October in 1971. This song was about a little gal, 12 or so. Her name was Martha Ellis. The band members, when they were in Macon, Georgia, used to go to Rose Hill Cemetery there and look at the headstones. So this particular song was a birthed of that and also a love song to Dixie, this man's girlfriend, who he loved a great deal, and she liked to wear vintage clothes. So when she did, he would say, you know what, you look just like Martha Washington. So I'm going to tell you who that is in just a second and let you know that following that will be Diana Krall, whose birthday was the 16th, and you'll be hearing something from Glad Rag Doll. Just so you know, it'll be 10 years on, let's see, early in December, Elvis Costello. She and Elvis met, and they quickly knew that they were in love and decided to get married. And on their anniversary, 3 years after they got married, their twins, Dexter and Frank, were born. How about that? So they have a lot to celebrate this Thanksgiving, although it'll be a different kind of situation for Diana because she's Canadian and Christmas. So with that, I give you the late, great Dwayne Allman with the Allman Brothers and Little Martha from Eat a Peach and Diana Krall to follow. And then Jared on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you. This is Hybrid Jazz. Awesome when you have, you can actually look at your hand and maybe look at another one, but you know that there are some musical projects in your library, hard copy preferably, because that's the best. You get liner notes that way, for heaven's sake. You have a handful of go-to CDs that whenever you're feeling a certain way, you reach for it, you put it wherever you need to put it to get the music back to you. I'm old-fashioned. I'm not walking around with one of those iPods or whatever. I'm not built that way. It has to be a physical CD. I got to put it in a CD player. But let me tell you, that's one of the ones that does it for me. Thank God I have it. Manhattan Nights by my guest this very day. And it's so cool because I could just go on about Jared. But the best thing I can say to you is this. First of all, he's a Renaissance man. He plays all kinds of saxes. He plays iwi. He sings. He repairs saxes. He's a billiards player that is worth noting. Oh, yes. He is one of those men that when he puts his heart and soul into something, it's done 100%. And we're going to find out what's going on with him at this moment. The other thing I wanted to say about Jared is that I was so looking forward to this day because not only is he one of my favorite artists, but he's my friend. And when you have a friend like this, you want to spend quality time. So this is one of the most anticipated visits that I can say in recent memory that I was looking forward to. This is Jared. Hi, Jared.
Hi, Trish. How you doing, hon?
I'm better now. How are you?
Oh, I'm on cloud nine. I have to tell you, I'm really good these days. I feel like a kid again. I feel rejuvenated.
And there is a big old fat reason why, because you just came from a pretty stellar visit, and this is something different for you. Please explain.
Well, there's not a lot of people out there that know this, but I've been shooting pool for many, many years, and I never really took it seriously. I always used it as basically just another passion and something to do to relax. But recently I've had the itch to do it again, and I feel a different fire in my belly now, to be perfectly honest with you. I'm taking this serious, and I'm going after my pro ranking. And I'm taking lessons now with one of the greatest, if not the greatest, nine-ball pool player, and he plays everything. He's just an amazing all-around pool player. But literally a six-time world champion, five-time U.S. Open nine-ball champion, Earl the Pearl Strickland. He's synonymous
wow.
in the pool world. He's a very controversial figure. The way that I like to describe him is the Muhammad Ali of pool.
Ooh.
He's very, very outspoken. A lot of people take that as arrogance, unfortunately, but what he says is so on point with the passion of the sport that he loves so dearly. I get the guy because you and I both know that I'm pretty outspoken in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, I'm misunderstood for it, but I really get this guy, and he's just one of the most amazing people I personally have ever met. I've gotten a chance to know him. I would never want to face him in tournament, I can tell you that. He is he totally switches gears in tournament play, but just having him as an instructor and a mentor, and also, I'm proud to call him my friend now. What an amazing down-to-earth individual he is. And what it's done is it's lit in a fire back in my belly again. And I feel like a kid. I feel like the Jared that picked up the saxophone for the first time at 6 years of age. I
wow.
feel totally rejuvenated. And the good thing is not only has this rejuvenated me in my own personal life, it's rejuvenated my musical career as well. It really has. I have a fire now that I can't even describe. It's just burning out of control. So I'm on cloud nine as if you couldn't.
Jared, I am so glad to hear that. And you know, I read a little bit about Earl Strickland and know that he is formidable in the world of professional billiards. How is it that you came to know him and then got to spend time with him? Because that's pretty unique, is it not?
It certainly is. You know, it's not a lot of people really understand just how outgoing and just how personable a lot of the professional pool players are. I mean, they are sports figures. They're sports figures just like Kobe Bryant. They're sports figures just like Pac-Man, Pacquiao. They're sports figures just like Messi is for soccer. I mean, they are superstars in their own sport of billiards. The problem is that with this great game and sport of pool, it doesn't get the media attention that regular sports, or should I say other sports has, like the NFL or, pro baseball or pro basketball. But a lot of these guys are just so down to earth, and they're very approachable. I'm proud to, call Earl Strickland my friend. I'm starstruck when I'm around the guy because I remember this guy back when I was a kid playing pool, and first time I saw him was back in 1983. And back then, I was a huge Steve Mizorak fan. Steve Mizorak was a pool player that got national notoriety because he did a Miller Lite beer commercial. And he did some trick shots on the table while he was promoting Miller Lite beer. Well, I was a huge fan of his because of his trick shots. So he was going up against this young 22-year-old named, his nickname was Little Earl, and it was Earl Strickland. And nobody really knew of Earl that much, but he made it through this tournament out at Caesars Lake Tahoe. And I saw him absolutely destroy Steve Mizorak. And I could not believe it's like that this guy had a cue ball on the string. He was just doing all of these shots, and his cue ball control was just outrageously good. And just watching him, I still love Steve Mizorak to this very day, but I immediately became an Earl Strickland fan, and I've been following him ever since. And I found out that he moved to New York, and he was the house pro at Steinway Billiards, which is in Astoria, New York, which is a really nice section of Queens. So I decided to see if Earl was on Facebook, and lo and behold, he was on Facebook.
He is, yes.
Yes, so I reached out to Earl Strickland on Facebook, and lo and behold, he responded to me. I sent him a private message. He responded to me, and of course I had my doubts, like, okay, is this the real Earl Strickland? But then he said, a few things, and we started communicating, and I found out that it really was him. And he said, I found out that he taught at Steinway Billiards, so I said to him, I would love for you to teach me. And I had the opportunity back in October to meet him at the U.S. Open down in Chesapeake, Virginia. I got a chance to meet him, talk with him. His sponsor, one of his sponsors, a gentleman by the name of Larry Ross, said, yeah, Earl teaches. It's true. He really does teach. And he told me his price, and I couldn't believe how affordable it was. So I said, you know what? If I'm going to take this seriously, I'm going to do it right the first time. Because you know how I am, Trish. You know that I don't do anything halfway. If I'm going to do something and I set my mind to doing something, I am going to go out and I'm going to try to be the best. I'm going to go out and get the best. I'm going to do the best that I possibly can. So for me, it was Earl Strickland or bust. So I contacted him, and he said yes. We've been scheduling lessons, and I took some lessons from him last week, and I learned more in 4 hours with Earl Strickland than I've literally ever learned in my entire life. He is a wealth of knowledge, and he's so nice and so patient. I mean, what an amazing instructor. I mean, I wish all of my teachers in school would have been as patient and as wonderful as this man. So I'm loving life right now. I mean, I'm thrilled. This is, like I said, this is really lit a fire in me, both musically and passionately, all over again.
Now, see, that's an interesting thing that you say, because, one wouldn't necessarily mean that there is a simpatico with the other. When you say that this has lit a fire underneath you so much that it has positively affected your music, what does that mean?
Well, for me, it's about the spirit of the game. For me, everything is about spirit. For me, everything is visceral. You know this about me.
Mm-hmm.
When I perform and I play music, I try to convey in my music what I'm feeling at that very, very minute. And if I can do that and touch one person, I feel like I've done what I've been put on this earth to do. Well, the same thing for pool. For pool is not only a visceral, emotional game. It involves incredible concentration. It involves incredible dedication. And it involves incredible passion. It's the exact same thing with music. To me, it was a perfect marriage. And that's why one helps the other. And even my wife, Connie, notices a difference in me ever since I've gotten, really into pool. I mean, we just yesterday got a pool table, a vintage 1950s Victor 9 table that was actually given to us by my mother-in-law, by Connie's mother. And I'm having it redone, refurbished, and I'll be able to practice here at my house every single day, just like I do with music.
Oh, that's great.
Everything goes hand in hand with this. That's why I'm just, like I said, I'm just like a kid again. This is something that I've needed for quite some time. And like I said, this has lit a fire in my belly that's just burning so hot that I feel like I can do anything at this moment.
Well, you know what? That makes perfect sense, what you have just said, and I'm so tickled about it because, you know, for a while I knew that you were feeling so sensitively about some things that have transpired and as far as trust issues with people over the past few years. So to hear you now is wonderful. Secondly, I perfectly get that. You know, you have so many kinds of gifts. And what happens is that when someone discovers that there's something else that they can do that they excel in, it seems to throw away a cloud on you, and you seem to plow into everything that you do in life with renewed gusto. I completely get that, Jared. And that's why I was asking you, because you know, you've created so much great music. You play so extraordinarily well, and to a large extent, we miss you. But everybody who loves you understands that you've got to do this kind of endeavor as well. This is something that you're good at. But the compositional skills that you have, the musicianship that you have, I can tell that when this gig comes up that you're going to tell us about, it's going to be a different kind of Jared on stage.
Well, it definitely is. It's definitely going to be a rejuvenated Jared, as it were. I mean, like I said, you know, there's creativity in pool. There's creativity in music. It all goes hand in hand. And I've needed this for a long time. I've needed a fresh perspective. And there is no better way to get fresh perspective besides doing something completely different in a lot of people's eyes. But I always try to connect things, and I always try to try to marry things, as it were. And being able to do this with the pool and the music, it's just a wonderful thing. I feel so incredibly blessed to be able to do this, to where this is going to rejuvenate and already has started rejuvenating my music. And also the music, as I get rejuvenated with doing that as well, it's gonna totally rejuvenate me with pool as well. It goes hand in hand. And a happy Jared is a good Jared. My wife will tell you that.
Oh, yeah, sure she
so,
can.
You know, she's totally thrilled with the difference that she sees in me. My outlook on so many different things is so much more positive than it was, because you know, like you said, I'd gone through a few things over the past few years to where I felt incredibly betrayed, incredibly let down, and now this has totally taken that and totally thrown it out. This has totally given me a brand new focus that to where I can refocus on my music career even better and even more intently than I did before. So all in all, this is a really, really good thing for me.
Well, and here's what most people don't necessarily understand. And maybe we have touched on this in a previous conversation, maybe not, but it seems to lend itself to this one. When you are in different circles, when you are living your life, you find the means to create music. If you're just, as it were, in a bubble, and all that you know is what you have done, and if there are no true challenges in your life or there's no new passions or renewed passions, Jared, you know as well as anybody, anyone's music could get stale. Now, you were never in this category anyway, but you never will because you are literally in different spheres. You're going to be doing some traveling. You're going to be talking to different kinds of people who will give you a new perspective on life and outlooks and seeing trees in a different way, seeing towns in a different way. All of this is a fresh start for you. It's almost like you're starting a career all over again, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the way it feels. That's exactly right. Going into it with for the lack of a better term, that boyish type of inspiration, as it were. And I really appreciate you saying that about, you know, my music not being stale. But, you know, I'm honest. I was getting stale for a while because for the past couple of years, I just hadn't been happy. And it affected my music a bit. You know, the whole thing that I went through a couple of years ago that you and I personally know about, mm-hmm. It did something to me. It killed something inside of me for a long time. I felt betrayed. I felt let down, and it affected me. And, you know, I'm a human being. You know, things get to me, and that really did, and it affected my music, and it didn't make me shy away from music, but what it did is it made me kind of like go into autopilot. And that's the worst thing that could ever happen to any musician is to go into autopilot. You know, we musicians need to obviously try and continue to reinvent ourselves, continually try to reinvigorate ourselves. We need to try and keep our music as fresh and as new as possible. And I let that go for a while. And now with what's happening now and being able to get, you know, have close friendship, you know, as I'm beginning to have with Earl Strickland, it's opening up my eyes to a lot of different things. Everything that you said is absolutely accurate. Seeing new people, getting to see a different side of a career, getting to know these people and know something that's outside of music and know that there is another life outside of music.
Yeah.
Not all in the same time, not pushing my music aside, totally reinvigorating it all over again. I like I said, I feel incredibly blessed. I feel incredibly excited, something that I haven't felt in many, many years.
Yeah.
And it's really, like I said, it's put a fire in me, and now I want to go out there. I'm itching to get back into the studio now and record, you know, my next CD project. I'm itching to take more lessons with Earl Strickland and enter into tournaments. I'm itching to do all of this, and it feels good. It feels good to know that I'm capable of doing all of this, and I feel good about it.
Well, this is really true about you. I haven't really said it recently. For a while, it was a focus because it just seemed like these kinds of individuals were passing through my life, but I haven't said it for quite a while. You really are, and I want you to contemplate this. You're a Renaissance man. You are able to do a number of things incredibly well. And not a lot of people can say that, Jared. So you, for a while, were feeling down on yourself just because the world was weighing in on you. And now I just think that God has opened this door for you that you can really see the kind of person that you were meant to be. You don't need to have any apology. You don't need to defend your actions. You have these gifts. It happened organically, which is the best way. Nothing was forced. So your life is unfolding now in the way after this drought that it should unfold. And it's just going to be one blessing after another. It is.
You know, I truly agree. You know, these doors presented themselves. The universe definitely presented something else, an opportunity for me, and an opportunity to see a better side of myself, and to the point of where now I feel like that I can go into music, back into music again, into my next CD project with a totally rejuvenated state and a different outlook, which is good. I needed a different outlook. I needed I needed to come back to music with a fresh heart, a fresh spirit, a reinvigorated heart, a reinvigorated spirit, and with a brand new drive. And I feel like now I have been presented that opportunity. I really truly owe it to the universe. I owe it to my wife for supporting me in doing this. She saw my inspiration in doing this. She saw the passion that I had in doing this. And, you know, seeing the look on your face, Jared, taking these lessons with Earl Strickland, seeing the look on your face and seeing the joy, she said, has totally made her happy, because
aww,
she saw the pain and the agony that I went through and that I'd been going through over the past couple of years. She saw it in me. And there was nothing she could have done to get me out of that. I had to find my own way. I really did. I had to get through all of that. I had to get through all of the cloud, the cloudiness, the darkness. I had to get through all of that to where I found light again. And thanks to her, thanks to Earl Strickland, thanks to all of these people, I feel like a brand new human being again. I really do.
Woo! Boy,
it's funny because I know it's going to be a shock to a lot of the people that know me musically, because they, every time they see me, they probably saw me happy. They probably enjoyed the way that I played and performed. They enjoyed the way I sing. Nobody would have ever known that I was going through anything quite like what I'd been going through in the past couple of years. But you knew. My wife knew. And, of course, I was living it. So now when people see the new Jared come out there and perform, they're going to see somebody that they thought they knew but they really didn't know.
Mm.
And that makes me feel good, because now I feel like I have something else to offer them. You know, and I'm on cloud nine. What can I say? I feel great.
And the truly positive offshoot of this is that because you are going through this transition, guess what? People that you have worked with through the years may get off their arses and find another inspiration for them. Had to say it.
Well, you know, maybe so. You know, if I can help somebody that way, you know, that's a good thing. You know, all I know is that I feel like going into this now, I feel like I'm going to be a much better Jared, you know, than I was before, and it feels good. And like I said, I'm 46 years old. I'll be 47 in January, and I feel younger now than I've felt in years. I feel great. And, you know, I'm getting my health together. I'm losing weight. I'm exercising more. And all of this is attributed, I have to say it, all of this is attributed to playing pool, working out, you know, my pool game with Earl Strickland, because he's 53 years old, and I've never seen a 53-year-old man in better shape in my life. He runs every single day when he's not sick. He runs every single day, and he keeps himself in great shape. And, you know, his attitude towards the sport is amazing. And he's indirectly and directly getting me to realize that the better that you approach yourself, you know, and the more positive that you approach you, your inner being, yourself, the better that you can approach things in life. And I can't say enough about him. I can't say enough about Poole. I can't say enough about my you know, rejuvenated spirit from music. I'm buzzing. I'm tingling all over again like I used to when I was younger playing music. I'm tingling all over again, and I feel great by it.
Man, I am really tickled to hear this. And I think that what I need to do is play a song that you don't necessarily expect me to play, and then we're going to get on to I'm not even going to let you know, but I'm really curious now because I didn't honestly expect you to talk about a next musical project. I thought we were going to talk about the time with Earl Strickland and this gig coming up in Virginia with you and Attila.
Mm-hmm.
So we're definitely going to talk about that. But now you have really paved the way for this next question to be asked. So you mull over what that could be. And of course, I'm going to go back to addiction. You know this, Jared, right?
Of course. Yeah.
Okay. Because this was the song that I heard. I had known about you for a long time, but when I heard this song, it made me like you.
Hey, good.
And the song is "You Like Me, Don't You?" This is Jared. He's our guest today on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, and we're going to ask a pivotal question right after this.
Don't you?
Don't You, from Addiction, 2008. And Jared is our guest. And that's the kind of buzz that we're feeling right now, that do-do-do-do-do-do kind of buzz.
Definitely. That's definitely it.
Well, you know, here's a – while the song was playing, there's an idea that's floating around. And I'm very dangerous with ideas, Jared. I think you know this. Here's the deal. I'm seeing that you could, now that doors are opening and now that you feel as though your creative juices are flowing, wouldn't it be cool to revisit that song on a new CD and do something very intensely Spanish with it, like a lot of percussion, like, you know, getting somebody of note to do congas on it and doing a video with the new, here I am, I'm Jared. I've lost a few pounds. I'm looking good. I know that you think so.
Oh, my God.
And really, really do it up. I mean, 2014, who the heck knows what kind of doors are going to open? Where is your music? Where is your head for music right now? What are you listening to? What's exciting to you?
Well, I tell you, it's better than ever. I mean, I've been listening to, well, you know that I'm a country fan. I do listen to country music. I love it. But I've also been listening to a lot of R&B. I've been listening to contemporary jazz again. I hadn't listened to contemporary jazz in about 2 years. It's been a long time. And,
wow.
I kind of steered away from that for a bit. I needed a bit of a break, but I'm back to listening to it again, and I'm beginning to find that I like a lot of different types of music out there now. There's music out there. Even there's a song that's out there that I really like that I actually sing on my shows now, called "Get Lucky" by Daft Punk. I like it.
Oh, yes.
I mean, the rhythm is insatiable. I mean, the music is really, really good. And I'm enjoying a lot of things out there now. I really, really am. And I'm not just listening to one or two forms of music now. I'm listening to a lot of different things. And I feel like it's helping me. It's helping me to appreciate music all over again. And because I had lost a little bit of appreciation for it over the past few years. I let a lot of things affect me, and I kind of steered away from it a bit. And I just, like I said, I was on autopilot, you know. And now, just listening to different types of music, I'm and a lot of the older classics I'm listening to all over again. I'm listening to a lot of 70s music, a lot of 80s music. I'm really enjoying it. I'm revisiting it and having a new appreciation for it all over again. And that's getting my juices flowing all over again. So, my goals for 2014, first and foremost, is to be as good a husband as I possibly can for my wife, to be as good
bless your heart.
For my both of my sons. To obviously be the best musician that I possibly can for the year 2014. I'm definitely committed to getting back into the studio and completing another solo album in 2014 and putting it out there again. And also, I'm absolutely focused and determined to probably be the best 8-ball, 9-ball, and 10-ball player that I possibly can in the year 2014. My goal is to win or at least place in a couple of amateur tournaments this year, or should I say in 2014. Obviously, if I can take monthly lessons from Earl the Pearl Strickland, I'm going to continue to do that as long as his schedule allows, as long as my schedule allows. I'm determined to making this work. And I'm committed to being the best player that I possibly can. Same thing with, like I said, with music. I'm committed to practicing, you know, as much as I possibly can, playing as much as I possibly can out live, you know, live shows locally and out of state. And I've got a lot of goals. I've got a lot of goals for 2014, but I have a determination now that I did that I haven't had over the past couple of years. Now I've got my determination back. Now I have my drive back, and I'm really looking forward to 2014.
Okay, here's a question. This is just completely out of the blue. What if you get a call from David Sanborn and he says, "Hey, Jared, I have this idea of a contemporary version, a 2014 version of Paul Desmond and Jerry Mulligan. Would you be interested in going on the road with me?"
Oh, my gosh. I mean, even if I just had to carry his saxophones, yes. I mean, the bottom line is, like I said, David Sanborn, just to be able to be on a headline bill with him would be a dream come true for me. I mean, he is everything to me musically. He is the one that inspired me to be a professional musician and to really approach the alto saxophone, which is my main instrument. I never knew an alto saxophone could sound that way, that could sound that passionate when I first heard him play. And hearing him, I faceted a lot of my playing styles after him. You know,
yes.
Over time I learned to really be myself, but still that influence is heavy in me. And if he were to call up, even if he knew who I was, if he were to call up and say, "Jared, you know, I would love for you to go on tour with me," you know, I would jump. I would jump at the opportunity. I would jump at it.
Well, you know, what's so intriguing about you and David Sanborn, of course you have the saxophone in common, but if people don't know this, and I don't think that I'm talking out of turn, Jared, by saying this, but there's something else that you and David Sanborn have in common. When I met him several years ago, I did not know, because he doesn't photograph this way, but when you meet David, you see how small of a man he is. And part of the reason, in large part, is because David had polio when he was little. And the doctors said to his family, he needs to have his chest muscles, his internal organs strengthened, or we're going to lose him. You have that in common because you had asthma so bad that at one time, didn't your family think they were going to lose you?
Yeah, I mean, they did. As a matter of fact, I almost died twice in the hospital. They had to put me in on a respirator. They also had to put me in an oxygen tent twice when I was younger because of my asthma, and almost died from it twice. That's, you know, Dave and I can relate a lot because, you know, of what he went through. That's why when you see David Sanborn walk, he's a very frail individual because of you know, what happened to him with having the polio. He was paralyzed from the neck down. Before his first birthday. I mean, he was paralyzed. He could not move anything. And that's why to this very day, when you see him walk, he has atrophy. His muscles have atrophied to where he still limps when he walks. And, you know, everybody thinks he has a cool playing style with the way he plays out of the side of his mouth, and he's kind of like, his body's kind of contorted when he plays, and it does look cool, but it's the only way that he can play. And it's because his body is at his left side is atrophied, and he has atrophy in his right leg. That's why a lot of times he stands basically on his left foot, and he plays out of the side of his mouth because that's how he learned how to play. I took on his playing style at a young age because I thought it was cool. I didn't know any better. I thought it was cool. I thought he was doing it on purpose because it looked so hip. And so my playing style, because of that, I play out of the side of my mouth, and I've done it pretty much all my life. And, you know, I didn't realize it was because, you know, until I learned his story, I didn't realize that it was because, you know, of his polio. And then I really had a deep admiration for David Sanborn because I'd gone through something, you know, kind of similar with my asthma, to where my asthma specialist suggested to my parents at the time, said, you know, Jared should take on a wind instrument to strengthen his lung facility, you know, because I like I said, I almost died a couple of times, you know, before I reached the age of five. And it helped me. It strengthened my lung facility. And had it not been for music, I mean, you know, you hear a lot of musicians go out there and they'll arbitrarily say, a lot of them will arbitrarily say, music saved my life. Well, I'm actually sitting here today because it literally did save my life.
How about that?
You know, that's why it's so passionate to me as well. You know, it's something that stuck with me over the years because I had a deep passion for it and a deep admiration for it because it did save my life. It's what allowed me to be here, sitting here talking to you today.
Well, it's been inside of me for a while. I visualize this because there's about a 20-year age difference between you and David, and it's just going to be inevitable that you and he get together at some point because the story is just so similar between the two of you, and you put everything into that instrument. It's just a beautiful thing to be able to convey emotion instrumentally, and you and David do that. And his inspiration was Hank Crawford because, you know, his world got changed when Dad took him to see Ray Charles and Hank Crawford was playing. And then your world was changed when you saw David Sanborn. And then somebody's, how many people, their worlds have been changed when they saw Jared play. So to get these, like, different kinds of generational feels together and what you would be able to do to help folks who have been in situations where it was life or death. Jared, it's just written in the stars somehow, some way, honestly.
Well, I certainly hope so. I mean, I've had the opportunity twice to meet David Sanborn, both times at the Capitol Jazz Festival over at Marietta Post Pavilion in Columbia, Maryland, over the, you know, past, you know, 10-plus years. I was blown away just by meeting the man. And, you know, if I ever had the opportunity to perform with him on any type of project that he had, you know, whether it be live, whether it be recorded, I would absolutely jump at the opportunity. I mean, he is my idol. There's just no other way to put it. He's my idol, just like Earl Strickland is my idol in pool. And I'm very proud to say that I've met both of them, and especially with Earl Strickland now, with me taking lessons with him and you know, communicating with him on a regular basis, I'm proud to call him my friend. You know, it's just an amazing life that I feel like I'm living right now at the moment, and both musically and personally. It's a wonderful thing. I love it.
Well, now I'm really eager to find out about the next time that we can see you play, because this is like going to be meeting a different person. I just hear it in your voice, and it's a natural high to be able to hear you be this jubilant. And there's no doubt when you say it's been a few years since you have felt this way, that's very honest. Where are you going to be so we can see you? And even if folks have to come a state or two away, that's cool. Maybe folks want to fly in from California, maybe over the pond. You've got so many friends all over the world, Jared. But this is a big deal for you, this event, isn't it?
It certainly is. You know, I have quite a few events coming up. I'm playing steady again now at a few different places. And
oh, cool.
One of the places I'd like to mention, I'm actually performing tomorrow evening.
Yeah.
And I perform at least 2 to 3 Wednesdays a month at this venue. It's over in McLean, Virginia. It's a wonderful venue called the Iris Lounge. Iris like iris in your eyes. It's I-R-I-S, Iris Lounge.
Yeah.
Their website is irisloungeva.com. The address is 1524 Spring Hill Road, and that's in McLean, Virginia. And I do a wonderful little hit, a very intimate hit there, pretty much every other Wednesday, with Attila Molnar, who's my dear friend, my brother from
London. Love him.
And I do that from 6:30 until 9:30, 6:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m., tomorrow evening. Also, I perform every Friday evening now at a new venue that's literally 1 mile away from my home. It's a wonderful
place.
It's called the Quench Tap Room. And what it is a good friend of mine, Lala, and her husband, Mike, they had a craft beer and a delectable wine store and a delicatessen. And the place, there was a restaurant next door that folded, so they decided to take that restaurant, refurbish it, and turn it into a wine tasting room and a craft beer tasting room. And
whoa.
They have delicious food there as well. So they've turned it into a jazz venue on Friday nights. So they have Attila Molnar and myself there every single Friday evening from 9 p.m. until midnight. And if anybody's interested, their website is quenchbeer.com. That's Q-U-E-N-C-H-B-E-E-R, quenchbeer.com. The address is 13423 New Hampshire Avenue, and that's in Colesville, which is Silver Spring, Maryland. It's at the intersection of New Hampshire Avenue and Randolph Road and Silver Spring. Wonderful, wonderful place to come. Taste some delectable wine, taste some incredibly good craft beers, and to listen to some great music and have some tasty food as well. And I do that every Friday evening, which is wonderful. And then I have a really big show coming up on I sounded like what was the guy's name back in the day? We've got a really big show coming up.
Ed Sullivan.
I have a really big show, and this is with my full band, with Attila Molnar on keyboards, Mike Tony Eccles on bass, Darren Blessman on drums, and myself. We're doing a full band show at the K2 Lounge, which is one of my favorite venues to play, which is in Woodbridge, Virginia. And address is 14633 Jefferson Davis Highway in Woodbridge, Virginia. If you want to call for reservations, it might be a good idea. Their telephone number is 703-494-4800. And I'm playing on Friday, November the 29th. Yes, you heard it right. Friday, November the 29th. They call that Black Friday. So if you guys get tired of shopping on Black Friday, please come out and listen to some great music. I'm doing 2 45-minute to 1 hour sets there. I'll be playing from 9 p.m. until roughly midnight. And that's
wonderful.
On Friday, November the 29th. So I'm really, really looking forward to that. And also, if it's okay, Trish, if people want to see the pool side of me, I have a home room that I play in called Galaxy Billiards, which is also in Silver Spring, Maryland. I play there on my 8-ball team every Monday night from 7:30 until about 9:30 or 10 p.m. My billiards team consists of another wonderful musician by the name of Bob Black. He's a great bass player, jazz bass player, out of the Gaithersburg, Germantown area. And he's the captain, Bob Black. Another good friend of mine, Richard Dreschler, who's a wonderful 8-ball player who lives over in the Tysons Corner, McLean, Virginia area. Fred Villasavo, who's a wonderful pool player who also lives out in the Rockville area. I've got my good friend, I call him Big Honey. His name is Jack. He's a wonderful player. Jack is great. He drives over an hour every Monday in rush hour traffic to play on our 8-ball team. And the 8-ball team is called Out of Time. And we play every Monday night at Galaxy Billiards, which is located at 8661 Colesville Road. And that's Suite A104. That's right next to McGinty's. It's actually huge. It's underground. It's a wonderful billiard room. Has 27 mint-condition Gold Crown 4 tables. All of them are 9-foot tables, and they have great food, wonderful service there, and anybody can come and watch the league play, and I do play. That'll be something for a lot of my music fans who have actually come out to see me play pool on my 8-ball team, and it's a different side of me. And of course, some of the fans will stick around, and I'll get a chance to hit some balls around with them afterwards. So if anybody wants to come and watch the other side of Jared, the sportsman side of Jared, the billiard side of Jared. Come on out and see me. I play every Monday night.
That is so awesome. You're just on fire. That's so cool. Oh, my God. And look, a couple of things. First of all, is the Iris Lounge, is that new?
Yes, it is. As a matter of fact, it's a little over a year old, and oddly enough, they have a small pool room as well where they've got some great, I think they're like $20,000 to $25,000 old house and pool tables. They have four of them. They have 2 9-foots, 2 8-foots, but they also have an incredible sushi bar. They also have an incredible kitchen that makes delicious foods. And it used to be a venue called E-Cities back in the day. It was a dance club. They also have a VIP club. They have a cigar lounge that's totally separate, which I don't understand how they have a cigar lounge, and I can't smell any cigars at all where I'm performing. It's wonderful. It's just a great venue. Great people there. Robert Dispenza is the owner and proprietor of the place. He's an Italian like me. My Italian. He's from New York. He ran some very successful nightclubs in New York, and he decided to take on a venture in McLean, Tyson's Corner, Virginia. And really great owner, great person to work with. Chris, the manager there, is wonderful. Tracy, the bartender, is a gentleman and a scholar and can make some of the best mixed drinks you've ever tasted. I mean, it's a wonderful, wonderful venue over in McLean, Virginia. Just good people all around.
Boy, you really do find some great venues, and this seems like the cream of the crop. I'm really interested in seeing the Iris Lounge and then this Quench Tap Room. That sounds beautiful. And then K2, I know about that because, you know, you're no stranger to that venue. So this is exciting. Jared, God, in all ways.
I tell you, you know, speaking of K2, also, you know, Big New York, Christian Demisone is a good friend of mine.
Yes.
We have a New Year's Eve gig there as well. So,
you do?
So that's going to be huge. I mean, people are already calling in for it. It's going to be a great time. And I'm sure when you have Christian back on, he'll tell you more about it. I don't want to really spoil it for him, telling you about it. But let's just say New Year's Eve is going to be an amazing show, and I'll let him tell you more about it when you have him back on your show.
But, wow.
Trust me when I tell you this. This is going to be a show for the record books. It really is.
Oh, look, whenever you are together with Christian, and I know that you've done a couple of things with you and Elliot Levine and Christian, it has a special kind of magic going on. And that compounded with the fact that you've got all these other amazing kinds of vibes going on in your head. I know exactly where you're coming from because it feels like a new door has been opened and you are walking through as opposed to looking at the doorknob. You know what I mean?
Let me tell you, I am sprinting through. I am sprinting through that door. And I'm really happy right now. I just am. I'm in a very good place right now. I feel better than I ever have. And, you know, it's giving me a new perspective on a lot of different things and handling adversity in a totally different way that you know, I've handled it before in the past. You know, it's just given me a new appreciation for, like a lot of musicians that I play with, like the band that I'm with on the weekends called The Source. You know, people like Gary Granger, Greg Granger, Eli Staples, Brian Fox, Carmel Frith, Carla Chisholm, Wawa LeGrand. I mean, all of these guys, I never lost appreciation for them, but I have even rejuvenated appreciation for them. You know, my guys, and they're in my band, Attila Molnar, Mike Tony Eccles, Darren Blessman, Andreas Holmstrom, Wawa LeGrand, you know, tons of great musicians that I feel totally rejuvenated, totally excited to play with them even more so now. It's just,
yeah.
I'm in a very good headspace right now, and I just pray that I stay here because I feel really good right now.
Well, here's the thing, and this is what I have learned from The Secret, and you know something about that, and now I'm reading by Rhonda Byrne, The Magic. When you start to feel good about the things that are happening with you, it has a way, Jared, of compounding itself. So you're going to continue to feel good, and because of the way you're feeling, you know what? It's actually going to generate more good things coming your way. I promise you.
Absolutely, you know, and there's so many things that are happening so fast that, you know, not a lot of people know this, but I also, I'm pretty technical when it comes to technology, you know, and I have a free application. I have a free app for iPhone, and also I have a free app for Android phone as well. It's just you look for Jared, J-A-A-R-E-D, and what this app does is it has a majority of my shows posted. I can send out push notifications to people to let them know of new developments. And, yeah, with everything happening so fast, I'm really beginning to use this app even more now to send out push notifications to people to let them know what's happening with, you know, musically, what's happening with me playing, you know, pool and tournaments, you know, that kind of thing. So for people out there, like I said, it's free. You can go right to the iTunes store, and it's just called the Jared app, J-A-A-R-E-D. Just search under Jared app, and it'll pull it up. And it's a really good interactive app. And, you know, I'm really, really happy that I have this to reach out to, you know, to my fans and to my friends to let them know what I'm doing, because things are beginning to happen so fast now. That's how I'm keeping in touch with a lot of people is, you know, through the app.
Well, and you'll certainly have a lot to say in 2014. I, for one, cannot wait to hear about this hybrid music project that you're about to do, where we could hear anything from maybe a Spanish version of You Like Me, Don't You, to a duet with Blake Shelton. You know, anything.
Right. You're looking at two hybrid Jared. And so it's perfect to have me on your show today, because – I couldn't have picked anybody better to talk to than you. I mean, your show has blended such an amazing diversity, dichotomy of music. It's an amazing thing. I mean, you have such a great hybrid mixture of music that to me, it's the best show out there. It just is. There's no show out there to me that's any better than yours, and I'm not just saying that. That's the truth.
Well, bless your heart. Let's just say a prayer that in 2014 the show becomes a situation whereby it transitions into a full-time commercial hybrid jazz station. And that way, so many people get the opportunity to be heard, the local, the regional people, and the internationally known people, all in the same mix, because, Jared, that's important. You know, different kinds of folks, this is a whole different hour if we chose to do it that way. But because of the death of so many smooth jazz stations, it forced people, among them you, to think out of the box. And boy, did you ever think out of the box. Jeez. you know, people are now in a creative mode that they wouldn't have been in unless there had been a death in the family, as it were. So now these vast arenas of new opportunities for musical artistry are happening that weren't there maybe a few years ago because, to tell you the truth, people were content on coasting. And now there ain't no such thing.
Right, exactly.
Yep. Yep, so this is good. All of this bodes well, and I appreciate what you just said about the show. It's a ministry for me, because any time that something is happening with you, it's always wonderful to be able to pass it along, because your heart and soul are always in a new endeavor. So that's the best thing that anybody can ever say about anybody.
Well, thank you, Trish. I appreciate that. You know, like I said, I'm trying to keep it real. I'm trying to keep it fresh and, you know, just to try and reinvent myself in any way possible that I can, you know, whether it be musically whether it be through, you know, sports, whether it be through political, you know, views, whether it be through just being a better husband, being a better father. You know, that's what I'm all about. You know, I'm trying to reinvent myself now to be the best person that I possibly can to be for myself so that I can be better for other people as well.
Well, you're doing a good job, honey. You are, and Connie would back me up. I know she would. Bless your heart. I'm just so tickled. Whatever is going on, whatever the time frame is going to be, you can always come back on the show, you and Slim Man, but I think you have actually had two or three interviews more than Slim. You are,
you know,
the most...
I have to keep my record intact. I'm going to try to stay a couple in because let me tell you, Slimmy, he'll catch up with you quick. He really will.
Oh, in a blink, and he doesn't like to be second.
I know he doesn't, and that's what I know about Slim Man. He's incredibly competitive that way, and that's why him and I one of these days are going to have a cook-off, because that's another thing that I love doing is cooking. And him and I are going to have a cook-off, because I've been cooking ever since I was 11. So that's one thing that Connie and I have a passion for is cooking. Slim Man likes to cook Italian. I like to cook French. So one of these days – Slim Man and I are going to have a cook-off, and maybe we can get on like the Iron Chef or Gordon Ramsay's, you know, show. You never know. But like I said, that's another passion of mine is cooking.
Well, you know what? Now this is just another little idea, because he's based in Nashville. He's in Baltimore now because he's doing some recording for the new Bonafide CD. He's going to go off to meet with Marc Antoine next week so they can do some recording together. But he's based in Nashville. And look, that is where, to a large extent, a lot of this TV production is right now. So why would it be so far out of the realm of thinking to think that you and Slim can't get together and do something cooking like that?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, he called me up to do a couple of shows with him a few years back at the Ram's Head stage in Annapolis, and I loved the opportunity. I had such an amazing time performing with him, and Attila was in Slim Man's band at that time. And performing with Attila and performing with Slim Man and Johnny Cole on drums, it was an absolute joy. And, you know, hopefully I'll have the opportunity to do that again. If he were to ever pick up the phone and say, "Hey, Jared, I got another Slim hit. Can you play with the Slim dude?" I'd be all over it in a heartbeat. He's a great out with, and he's a great musician, a great singer. I love his style. I can't say enough positive things about Slim Man. So anytime that he ever needs me, I know that Kevin Levi usually plays with him, but if there's a chance that Kevin can't do one of his shows, you know, I would love to fill in. I would love to play with Slim Man again. It would be a fantastic a treat for me to do that.
Well, you know what? If you would keep this date open, it's December the 5th, which is a Thursday. Slim's going to be playing at La Scala in Little Italy in Baltimore, and it's for the benefit of the Mount Pediatric Children's Hospital. So, you know what? Maybe you and Connie can come up and be a part of the festivities. The food is absolutely great. And Slim and I will be talking in the next 24, 48 hours, and I'll tell him about this conversation.
Yeah, please do. You know, if Connie and I can be there, we will definitely give it our best. However, right now we're scheduled to be in Las Vegas at that time. We're going to be at the Mirage for the 2013 Moscone Cup, which is a – 9-ball challenge for Team USA versus Team Europe. So, and of course, Earl Strickland is going to be on that. So we're planning on going there to support him with all of our USA garb, our American flag. I mean, this is a big deal in the pool world. So we are planning to actually do that. But if something happens to where we can't do that, then absolutely, we will most definitely come and support Slim Man and support the cause. We'll do that anyway. We'll definitely, if we can't be there with Slim Man and be there physically, we will definitely be there in spirit for sure. It's a great cause what he's doing.
Oh, absolutely. And look, is it okay if I give him your number? Is it okay if I do that? Okay.
Of course.
Very good. I'm going to do that. And let's see what we can hook up and have even more to do for you in 2014. Yay! Jared, you know I love you. You know that you're welcome anytime, and I appreciate that you shared this intense personal joy with us. It makes me so happy. It does.
Well, thank you, Trish. You know, I believe me, you know I love you too. You're my dishy Trishy, so there's no way. There's no way that I wasn't going to share this with you. You're the first person besides my grandfather and my wife, obviously, because they live here. You're really the first person I've shared all this with. And I wanted to share it with you because out of all the people and all the interviewers that interview me, obviously you're my favorite, and I have no problem saying that. And
bless you.
Because you're the most visceral, and you know me better than anybody. So I was honored to be on your show today and to share this with you.
Well, I'm tickled that you said that, and my gratitude is overflowing. And we'll be able to see as each step of this new journey goes. You know, you're quite candid about what happens on your Facebook page, and Jared.com is still very much in evidence, right?
Absolutely.
You're still working with the website. Okay, great.
Absolutely.
That's good to know. Good to know. Bless your heart. You know how I'm going to end this? I really wanted to play for Manhattan Nights. No nachos for puppies.
That sounds good.
I love you, and we'll talk soon, and hopefully I'll see you on the 29th at the big K2 event.
Absolutely. And Trish, once again, thanks so much for having me on your show. You know I love you. You know I always relish the opportunity to talk with you and to talk with your listeners. Congratulations, by the way, for having over 99,000 listeners. I think that is amazing. What a feat to do that, especially in this day and age with what you're doing. And God love you for it. You know, thank you so much. You know I love you. You know that you're my sister from another mister. So, you know, and you're my dishy Trishy. So,
I had to say it twice. Oh, God.
Absolutely. So thank you so much for the opportunity, Trish. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. And God bless you. Big love and hugs to Connie. And I'll see her soon. And I'll see you, too.
Okay. Take care, Trish. Thanks again.
You too, Jared. Thanks again.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Jared, oh my God, isn't this something else? And so is this song. If you've never heard this song, it's just going to make you feel good. And if it doesn't, I'm going to have to play doctor and find out what's wrong with you on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. This is Hybrid Jazz.
when you need someone true to love. Don't go to strangers, darling. Come on to me. Play with fire till your fingers burn. And when there's no place for you to turn, don't go to strangers, darling. Come on to me. For when you hear a call to follow your heart, you follow your heart, I know. I've been through it all, and I'm an old. Friends to see, but when you need more than company, don't go to strangers, come on to me.
That's something, huh? 1960, Don't Go to Strangers, the voice of Etta Jones, born on the 25th of November, 1928, and passed away on my birthday, 10-16-2001. And I remember, because I liked that voice so much, I appreciated her artistry a great deal. Etta was one of those wonderful creatures. You know, there's so many in the world of jazz or R&B jazz or R&B or soul or soul jazz, whatever you want to call it. There's so many unsung heroes and sheroes, and she's one of those ones that did not get, I don't think, the recognition she deserved, because she had a way of turning a phrase. It's just a beautiful thing to hear her sing. Born in South Carolina but raised in Harlem, she spent time with Kenny Burrell and Milt Jackson, Cedar Walton. Put a bookmark in that name. And over 30 years with Houston Person, who's celebrating his 80th birthday on the 10th of November. How about that? Quite a few stories that man can tell. Etta Jones, not to be confused with the other Ettas that you know. Don't Go to Strangers was a really big deal for her in the late 50s, early 60s.
We heard two from Marion McPartland. Whew, 1995, Straight No Chaser, the Monk song from Marion's trio album, Live at Yoshi's Night Spot, 1995. An instrumental artist who had the way of thinking, and of course other artists have it as well, but in prepping for the show, I noticed that Marion had the same philosophy as Lynn Fidmont, which is that she wanted to turn new audiences onto songs that were absolutely embedded in our collective memories for people who were older. But as far as the younger generation is concerned, if you can make them a new way or spin a little bit, make a 150-degree turn or maybe an 85-degree turn, and just try to capture a new kind of magic for new audiences. That means everything. Marion McPartland. Bill Douglas on the bass, drummer Glenn Davis. And it just is hard to believe now. It just mentioned Cedar Walton. Marion McPartland died at the age of 95 this year on the 20th of August. Cedar Walton passed away on the 19th, another one of those keyboard giants. And our George Duke passed away on the 5th. Three internationally respected keyboardists who the world misses so much we can't even say. And Marion left a legacy that not only was all about her extraordinary fingers, but such a story, English-born, and quite a few people said, this little white girl coming over from the UK, what is she going to do in jazz? Well, she did quite a bit and created this empire with her piano jazz radio show, I think the longest-running show on National Public Radio history. Wow, such an amazing legacy she left behind, and kind to so many people, which is worthwhile noting. Jared, we heard. Yes. No nachos for puppies. You ask him about that story someday. He's told it a few times. I won't rehash it because he needs to say it in person. Oh, I love him so much. You know I do. Anytime he wants to come back here, he certainly can. It's just so extraordinary to hear the kind of enthusiasm he has for what is going on in his life. And you know what? There is that kind of enthusiasm for another person I know. I have known about young Rodney Kelly Jr. for a while now and used to see him come into the clubs at 347 and the like in Baltimore and make note of who was playing, especially in the way of keyboard. So here is young Rodney now, who is married, a baby on the way, a new CD that is just a few songs short of completion, his wonderful executive producer and manager and promotion guy and agent, Robert Quarles, wanted to make sure I knew about this particular track called Mystic Breeze. So it really gives me a kick and a half to be able to play this song for you from Rodney's forthcoming CD and to have absolutely no hesitation about playing him next to Marion McPartland or next to who is going to follow him, Joshua Redman, or who's going to follow Joshua Redman, Michael McDonald with Larry Carlton, because that's the beauty of this show, Hybrid Jazz. You play what's great locally and regionally next to international and national. Rodney Kelly Jr. and Company, Mystic Breeze on Hybrid Jazz.
Honest with you, I get really excited as the holiday season approaches, and here is why. I get to play a holiday song or two by Michael McDonald. That's not really a holiday song, of course, I know that, but it's just the way he is able to convey the holiday season. And I've just gone to his website right there, and I'll tell you the particulars. Oh, really? Oh, wait a minute. Stop the music. Are you serious? I just went to Michael McDonald's website, and I happened to see that he's going to be in Bethesda, Maryland at the Strathmore. What? I did not know. Oh, my goodness. And then a whole bunch of dates, including Mary Swoyer, are you listening? In Glenside, PA at the Keswick. This is big news. Woo-hoo. Oh, that's so exciting. And then Larry Carlton, he is going to be doing lots of dates in early 2014. That's who you heard playing the guitar for Michael McDonald, little guest stint, in Fingerprints from 2000, Till I Hurt You. Isn't that something? Oh, beautiful song. Oof. We heard, too, from Joshua Redman, Walking Shadows, released earlier this year, the John Mayer song, Stop This Train. You have heard a couple of other folks do that song this year. John Mayer, just maybe one of those folks. It's easy to cover in the way of jazz, etc.
For Joshua Redman, it was. And then that was partly the idea of his producer, Brad Meldow, who was playing piano on this as well. And on bass, Larry Grenadier, Brian Blade on drums, and then there's an orchestra. Just beautiful. Actually, if you want to say something about the CD, it's both emotional and minimalistic, even though there's an orchestra. Something about the way Joshua is playing, he is so gifted in the way of the technique, but then he fleshes out these emotions, and by the time all was said and done, you're listening to the CD Walking Shadows going, wow, I'm crying. It's just a lot to take in. Some mournful songs, melancholy, if you will. But it's just so exquisite. Oh, beautiful. We heard, too, Rodney Kelly Jr. Yes, we did, from Baltimore, Maryland. RK2 is what I like to call him because Dad is in the music business. Dad plays guitar. Rodney plays keyboard. Thank you, Robert Qualls, for the heads up about the song Mystic Breeze. The CD is coming in 2014, from what I understand, fingers crossed. That particular song sounds like it could be one of those songs that you could hear over and over again on the radio. Just a beautiful, fleshed-out, contemporary jazz piece. I can't wait to hear the rest of the CD because if this is any indication, I'm already blown away. We're talking about a young man, but a young man who has done a whole lot in his life, and he's a little bit sick and tired, frankly, of folks saying, hey, young Rodney, how are ya? Patting him on the head as if he was 10 years old. He's now a married man, baby on the way, his wife is beautiful, life is beautiful, so we need to celebrate. So that's what we did. We played a song by Rodney Kelly Jr. This lady is going to be with us next Tuesday. I'm a little excited. Thank you, Rick Scott, for this. This is a new lady, certainly in my world. We'll find out all about Peggy Duquesnel. Actually, it's spelled D-U-Q-U-S-N-A-L, Duquesnel. I had to ask Rick how you pronounced her name. On this CD, she has some names that you'll know. Oh, yeah. Rick Braun, Brian Bromberg, Bill Cantos, how about that? He's on a track or two. Interesting because it's instrumental. And then there are touches of country on this. Splendid, actually. Let's get to it. Let's play this song for you, All I Ask for Christmas, something that Peggy wrote on Hybrid Jazz. Check it out.
I really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
Baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has been.
Been hoping that you'd drop in.
So very nice.
I'll hold your hands there just like
they
ice.
Say there might be a flurry.
Beautiful, what's your hurry?
It's starting to snow more and more.
Listen to that fireplace roar.
So really I'd better scurry.
Darling, please don't hurry.
Or maybe just a little kiss more.
Put some music on while I go.
The neighbors might think
it's freeze to the bone out there.
Say, what's in this drink?
It's up to your knees out there.
I wish I knew how.
Your eyes are like starlight
to
now.
Break this spell. At least I'm gonna see that I tried.
What's the sense of hurt in my pride?
I really can't stay.
Baby, don't hold out.
Cause baby, it's cold outside.
Ago, one of the best holiday albums out there, Slim Men with Antonia Bennett, who just got married this year, Tony Bennett's daughter. Baby, it's cold outside. Slim is victim. I love it. You'll hear more about what's happening with Slim coming up soon on Hyper Jazz this Thursday at 3. It's Swinging in Tongues. I just love to say it. Woo! New group on the DC scene. We'll see you on Thursday. Thanks to Jared again. God love everybody in the chat room. I know I do. Mwah. See you next time.